If you can't spot a black glove right around the crime scene, then oh my goodness. Wow. Wow. They must be missing a whole lot. Welcome back to the Shake Podcast. I'm your host, Derek Van Shake, and no co-host. We have a lot to talk about with the Idaho 4, as it's called. Police just seem completely unable to move ahead, and it seems that they're lacking significant progress in this case. The last podcast we put out, no one was really saying how the police are really slow with this and seem to be over their heads with this investigation. It was only after I put out the podcast, and I'm not suggesting that all that the mainstream media is looking at my stuff or anything like that. I'm just saying that, yeah, as soon as I put that out, it all started to come out more that, oh boy, it seems that the Idaho police here, the Moscow, Idaho police, are quite in over their heads, and they're not making nearly as much progress as we would like, and it's kind of alarming how far behind it seems that they are in this investigation of the Idaho 4, of those four college students in the University of Idaho who were all sadly murdered in their beds. So the first thing is Kaylee and Madison, who were apparently sleeping in the same bed, and we found out that Kaylee and Madison were sleeping in Madison's room. Okay, so that doesn't sound too different. It's like, okay, so two girls want to sleep together. They're best friends and, you know, they're besties from, you know, childhood. So, all right, whatever. But here's the thing, too, that's even more interesting, is that even though they were sleeping in Madison's room, it was Kaylee of the two girls that received the most amount of stab wounds. It was Kaylee, which seems to indicate that the unsub, the unidentified subject, was looking specifically for Kaylee. That Kaylee was probably the primary target. And we found out, too, that they were sleeping on the, I believe, the third floor of the house. But Ethan and Zanna were sleeping on the second floor. Interesting. So now the idea and the possibility is that Ethan and Zanna were killed accidentally when the unsub was looking for apparently Kaylee, where the unsub entered Ethan and Zanna's room and then maybe found like, oh, wow, this is not them. And they spotted me. So in order to keep everything hush hush, they need to go too. That may actually be a more plausible possibility that the unsub was looking specifically for Kaylee. It's all really confusing of, you know, of course, the motive, but also the sequence of events. And that's something the police don't have at all either. You know, they're just completely gone on this. They have no sequence of events. They don't even know who was killed first, really, or how the unsub got in even. I mean, that is just so beyond confusing that the police still don't even have that type of critical information. How did this guy get in? You have no idea. No idea. I mean, you know, I mean, like nothing? Shoe print? Fingerprints? There's so many possibilities of proof of how someone got in. Also, any type of oddity, such as, oh, well, this window was left open. Well, maybe he got in that way. There's so many possibilities of evidence that can point to how the unsub got into the house. And this completely, no, we don't know. No idea. They're completely clueless. Now, it's also being said by neighbors that the front door was left open that morning. So now it's like, oh boy, did the unsub go in that way or maybe come out that way now? And when the media brought that up to police and asked if you know that, they were like, oh, well, yeah, well, no comment. It's like, dude, we're giving you information here. Do you know that? Because this is critical for you to know in order for you to investigate to find out what really happened. The Moscow police, they don't want to say anything. Nothing at all. The Moscow police have a police department rep to speak to the media. The rep was interviewed on one of those news channels, and yeah, she said absolutely nothing at all. She was basically just saying, no comment, no comment, no comment. What's the point of doing an interview if you're just going to say no comment or everything we have to say is already on our website? It's like, they're so tight-lipped about some things. And it makes people think either they're really close to catching the killer, really close, and they don't want to really rock the boat, and, you know, they're on the trail and they're going to get him any day now, or they have no clue and they're so far behind. Unfortunately, it does appear to be the latter. I could be wrong, but it does appear to be the latter. There is no indication whatsoever that they are anywhere close to catching this guy at all. And I'll tell you why that seems to be the case. A former investigator was, I think, in town, and he just decided to pop by and just take a look and just see if he can spot something. Okay? This former investigator goes up outside the house where it's roped off, and, you know, obviously you can't go past a certain point. And he walks up and just starts looking around, and immediately, within like 2 minutes, he looks down to the side and sees a black glove underneath like some leaves and some of the snow. And it's like, dude, a black glove, a glove. I mean, this is not like, oh yeah, I saw like a toothpick. Okay, this is a glove. What? A possible murderer would wear to carry out the crimes. This was like 3 weeks after the crime, and those police officers, the Moscow PD, apparently didn't see a black glove laying right there by the house. If you can't spot a black glove right around the crime scene, then oh my goodness. Wow. They must be missing a whole lot. A whole lot is being missed. Think about it. If you're missing a black glove at a crime scene, what else could you possibly be missing in the house or around the house or everything else where it's all taped off because only the experts here, you know, like the Moscow PD and everyone else that couldn't spot a black glove right by the crime scene, only they have the access to the crime scene to make sure that they spot everything. And I said this in prior podcasts. I'm not very convinced that the Moscow PD is on top of this and doing an extremely good job and very thorough. You know, it's nothing points to that at all. Everything points to the exact opposite. Everything points that they're very slow, that they're very inexperienced. There's a lot of oversight. There's a lot of missed clues. There's a lot of poorly dealing with the media. They're not allowing the media to ask many questions really at all now. They're just like basically every once in a while they're posting like a YouTube video or something like that, or like a Facebook post. That's it. No Q&A, no tough questions from the media. They don't want to hear the tough questions because it'll probably hurt their feelings because, oh, you know, they're doing the best they can. I mean, sometimes a little criticism is quite good, actually, because it makes you operate that much better. It's so important to be on top of your game when you're investigating a case like this. Part of the reason why is because the unsub is apparently on top of his game, okay? Because he's not leaving a lot of clues, apparently, or at least not a lot of clues that the Moscow PD found. So now the big thing is that the police are looking for a white Hyundai Elantra, which kind of is a little weird, don't you think? It's a little weird. It's not that hard to find this type of car. Part of the reason why is because you have access to the DMV records, which tell you the make, model, and color of the car. It tells you all that information in the DMV records, which I believe are mostly public. If they're looking for the car, they should be able to, one, maybe find it themselves, or have a good idea of where this car is or who's it's registered to. Yeah? How many white Hyundai Elantras are there in the United States? How many? Maybe 1,000? You can literally go through each of those records, know exactly who's it's registered to, you know, where they live, their name, you know, everything pretty much about them. Because as soon as you have, you know, who's it's registered to, then you have the name. As soon as you have a name, then you have all their records, all of their public records are available all of a sudden. Okay, any arrest history, you know, military service, law enforcement service, everything is all there now, as soon as you have a name. So with that in mind, you just go through each and every single record of a white Hyundai Elantra in the United States. Every single one. And see who could possibly be at least an unsub. Maybe it is just a witness or someone who could have saw something. But if it's at all possibly the unsub, you go through each record of a white Hyundai Elantra in the United States, all the registration records, and see who could possibly be the unsub out of all of these records. You start with the records locally, and then you expand the search geographically. For example, who in Moscow, Idaho has a white Hyundai Elantra? You start there and you question them and find out if they were on campus or if they could possibly be the unsub. And once you finish Moscow and you ruled all those people out with a white Hyundai Elantra, you expand the search geographically. Then you try to rule out all of those people who have a white Hyundai Elantra. This is not hard. And it really doesn't require that much imagination to figure this out. Now also the police are moving out all the boxes and taking out everything from the house and putting it into a U-Haul to apparently give the residents, I guess, back to the landlord. The problem with that is that you can't recreate the crime scene. So if they do find the guy or find somebody and all of a sudden they start questioning him and something seems to come out that indicates that there could be some evidence that would point in that direction, you can't recreate the crime scene to check it out. So the crime scene's disturbed. Congratulations. Now there's no going back. Then they're probably going to disinfect the place and make it all nice enough to possibly give back to the landlord so they can rent it out again. It's absolutely ridiculous. What's the hurry? That's what I say. What's the hurry? Why would you feel like you're in such a rush to do that? It doesn't make any sense. They're just doing things that just make absolutely no sense at all. I mean, really, what's the rush? It's better to have that crime scene as a time capsule so you can refer back to it when new information comes about, because you don't even know what new information is going to come about. All of a sudden, you start talking to a suspect and start thinking, oh, shoot, we didn't look at that. We didn't think of this. What about this aspect? What about that? We didn't think of it, but not too late now. You already cleaned it all up. It makes no sense. Why would you take those irreversible steps that can severely hinder the investigation? Now it's also coming out that a neighbor possibly heard a scream at 4 a.m. And the police, we don't even know if they know that yet. Nah, they don't want to confirm or deny pretty much anything. And they just want to, what it seems like, just stay in their little bubble and not really explore anything outside of it. I think it has to do with a little bit of pride and hubris as well. Kind of like, oh, you know, these internet sleuths and the mainstream media, you don't even know what we know. We know a lot more than you. There's no way you know more than us. Dude, you don't understand the benefit of crowdsourcing. And as we talked about in our last podcast, crime sourcing, it's extremely beneficial to bring in all different minds, all different walks of life, all different experiences, all different skill sets, all working for a common good, such as with this case, to solve the case. And taking in all those different perspectives, all those different resources, all those different ideas, and pulling them all together, you're going to be well in advance of any of the Moscow PD investigators, you know? So it's just really sad, it feels like, that it seems that the Moscow PD does not understand the benefit of crowdsourcing. All they're looking at is just the negatives. Oh, all these rumors on the internet, and they're just hindering our investigation. That's what it seems that they are thinking. Oh, you know, these rumors are just making things difficult for us. Why don't you actually take the good ideas that are coming out on the internet and all these interesting perspectives and new ways of thinking of it and incorporating it into your thought process and your investigation to take action to catch the guy? Come on. Maybe what some people on the internet are doing actually have some interesting value that you can glean from to progress the case. I personally feel what we're noticing with the Moscow PD is a lot of hubris, a lot of arrogance, and a lot of pride. They just don't want to admit that, hey, maybe people on the internet actually have some good ideas. Maybe there's some smart people that actually have experience and actually have some ideas that you haven't thought of. You ever think of that? But I think for them, it's all pride, and they don't want to let that go. They seem so far behind on this case, and I don't see them catching this guy anytime soon. Some people say, oh, well, sometimes these cases take time. Yeah, it's true. They sometimes take time. but this case is at the forefront of national attention. You have the whole country. You can get the whole country looking for a single person or whatever you need. The whole country will be looking for that, okay? So you basically have unlimited resources at your disposal. And that's the reason why it should be solved quicker. And it should not take months and months and years to solve a case. No, no. Someone else could be harmed or injured or killed in that time frame. Get them now. Instead of working against social media and working against the online sleuths, they call them. Instead of working against them, why don't you work with them and bring them in and have them help with the case? Whether that's a former FBI investigator, whether that's a former, you know, PD investigator, whatever it is. Or maybe some people have other skills that the police department can leverage. Why don't you use the country instead of pushing them away? Use them. Maybe some people don't have the experience to actually go through leads and find out what's credible, what's not, and everything like that. But why don't you leverage some people to bring them in and actually help with the case, whether that's even just the local people? It's just a shame that it seems that they are very understaffed, yet there's so many people that are willing to help. If there's so many people willing to help, bring them in. And someone's going to say this. Someone's going to say it. Maybe the killer is going to try to volunteer to try to, you know, divert the investigation. Possibly. But that's why you need checks and balances for all the people you do bring in and all their work. Also, anyone you do bring in, you can try to like rule them out is an option too. Now, the parents of the victims are hiring their own private investigators because they're fed up with the investigation and apparently the Moscow PD, which proves further that, yeah, Moscow PD is kind of behind the ball here. And the parents that, of course, want justice for their children, they feel like it's necessary to bring in a private investigator, which says a lot about the situation over there. That even the parents are noticing this. This is not like, oh, well, we're just critical because we want to find the guy now. No, no, no. It's seems pretty bad. And I think the parents of the children are kind of left in the dark, which is not cool, of course. Typically in an investigation, the loved ones of the deceased, of the victims, are given, you know, preferential treatment, I think. You know, they're kept in the loop more. You know, the police is closely in contact with them, with the understanding that they would not go to the media because, you know, you don't want to let certain information out. Okay. But I don't think the Moscow PD is doing what is typical in an investigation of keeping the loved ones in the loop, which can be quite annoying and, you know, really frustrating for their families. The problem is that the Moscow PD doesn't have a lot to say. They're just so far behind. So they're just like, well, we're not going to tell you anything because we don't know anything. It seems to be the case. And, you know, this whole thing of like, oh, don't believe everything you hear. Again, I really think the Moscow PD is being extremely, extremely prideful in all of this. And it's quite sad because I think it's at the detriment of the investigation. Also, here's another thing that the Moscow PD totally messed up. There's no reward. No reward whatsoever. No reward. And initially, they said, well, we don't need to offer a reward. And I was like, why? Why don't you need to offer a reward? And they said, well, we're already getting a lot of tips. I'm smashing my head with the microphone if you're listening in. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. I can't believe that was the rationale of the Moscow PD. I can't believe this. Smashing my head with the microphone. Yes, they actually said that. And here's why that is a bad reason for not offering a reward. Yes, you will get more tips with a reward because people are like, hey, there's something in it for me. I'm going to offer more tips. And also your tips are going to be more numerous, but also could be better because they are more numerous. You know, you have more people that are thinking to offer a tip because it could possibly break open the case and they can get a big payday. They can get like $50,000 or whatever the reward is. But can you guess what a reward also does in an investigation? Yes, it can also get people close to the unsub to turn on the unsub. So someone who's loyal to the unsub, someone like a friend, family member, boyfriend, girlfriend, marriage partner, anything like that, all of a sudden there's a huge benefit of calling the tip line and saying, hey, I think the person I'm with or my friend, he was out that night and he's starting to act very odd and he's very obsessed with this case and he lives not too far from there. See? You also get those tips, and those tips are the ones they are missing. Police are missing really any possibility of a friend, family member, acquaintance, whatever, of turning in the unsub because they think he could possibly have something to do with it. And this is also a little bit of a life lesson too. Have you ever noticed that people's loyalty can sometimes be bought? You ever notice that? Whether it's a friend or family member, let me just say in business, you know, someone's working for a company for a long time and he's a loyal employee. But then another company comes along and is like, hey, I can pay you, you know, a little bit more money than that. And it's all of a sudden like, wait a second, I kind of like that. All of a sudden, I don't have much loyalty anymore. My loyalty has a price, apparently. Okay. Unfortunately, that's human nature. That's just the reality. Okay? But police can use that to their benefit, and they can use it by offering a reward, something that they completely haven't done yet. Moscow police have not offered any reward so far. Zero. No reward. They should have done it early on, but right now, I don't think they're going to do it because they're afraid to appear desperate to solve the case. And again, as we said before, I think they're very prideful and they don't want to make it seem like they don't know what they're doing and they don't have a beat on the suspect. It's just so sad because it seems like, at least to me, that the Moscow PD is totally engulfed in their pride and totally insecure about letting anyone know where they are in the investigation, that they may not be able to find them for a little while, or maybe a very, very long time until maybe the perpetrator commits another crime, God forbid. It's just sad that it seems that pride is taking precedent over solving this case. If you're not already subscribed to the Shake Podcast, you may want to subscribe because we don't want to miss out on new Shake Podcast on current event topics in more conversational detail. We are everywhere you get your podcasts, including Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon. You can watch the show on YouTube. Everywhere you get your podcasts, that's where you can get the podcast shaked. See you at the top.